Blog Talk Radio.
There's no me without you. There's no me without you.
Without you, there is no me, baby. I tell you that every day. You made me into the man that I am today, and I am so thankful for that. Because of you, I have faith and hope for a better life. I can't give you the world, but whatever I can give you, mama, is yours. I owe you so much, and I love you, baby. Thank you for being you. Listen to this.
Without you, there's no me. There's no me, there's no I. The proof is in the pudding. Speak the truth, there's no lie. Baby, you the truest, you the cutest, no why. Cause even when you angry, we a family so fly. Girl, I see that loving glare every time we hug and stare. Hold each other's hands so much, your hands are like the gloves you wear. Baby, you my honey bear, money, you the sun, I swear. You my lady, know you love it when I touch you there. Baby, you my shining night, finer than a diamond's life. Shining like the brightest light. Girl, you are the finest wife. I'm like a pilot's flight, you're like the finest heights. I'm just delighted like my baby girl, my priceless wife. Real talk, we gon' live forever. Get old, get gray, and raise these kids together. You my warmth, you my fire, you my scarf, my heat. I'm not the same, you my heart to beat.
Sarah, we've been together a long time, and there's not a minute of it I would trade for anything else. You make me feel like I can achieve anything as long as you're there with me. Not to mention the kids. Oh man, the kids are so lucky to have you. You truly are God's gift to me. From the moment we first touched, I knew we would be together forever. No matter what, you're my rock, baby.
Without you, there's no me. Without me, there's no us. And for me, that's the problem. You my sight with no touch. You my life, you my wife, you so clutch. You my might, I love you so much. Love that I can make you laugh. Love to see you shake that ass. Journey's just starting, so baby, let's just make it last. My inspiration, my patience when I'm fading back. Whisper in your ear, you my goddess while we take a bath. You a trip, scared to buy a couch on Craigslist. Nothing's more fun than catching Dexter on Netflix. Every time I sexless, yes, you the bestest. Let me slow down because baby, leave me breathless. Real talk, we gon' live forever. Get old, get gray, and raise these kids together. You my warmth, you my fire, you my scarf, my heat. I'm not the same, you my heart that beats.
I can't believe it's been 10 years together, and this is the first song I've ever made for you. I should have my head examined. You are so important to me that I could be with you another 1,000 years and never truly express how much you got me. You ace the fate, and the thing about it is that everyone that knows you knows it. You are something special. I love you so much, and that will never change.
Without you, there's no me. Without me, there's no you. And I mean you my dream girl, my queen, my own boo. You my own heaven, my beauty, my tune. My sun and the stars, my view, my own moon. I know you're reaching zones simply when I speak in tones. Feel the love with every step while I'm reaching home. What's a perfect day with you in seeking tone? What's a perfect night? You and me alone. You are my everything, that's what I think of you. Now let me see your body, kiss every inch of you. Words could not express my love, baby, you the perfect song. I got a perfect wife, my kid's a perfect mom. Real talk, we gon' live forever. Get old, get gray, and raise these kids together. You my warmth, you my fire, you my scarf, my heat. I'm not the same, you my heart that beats.
Happy Valentine's Day, baby. I love you. I love you.
Well, good evening, guys. I hope you're doing well. Good to be back. I have to excuse me. It's been a long time since I've actually been able to listen to that song. That song was written by Eric for his wife, Sarah, who is my daughter-in-law. He is my son, and she is the one that passed away last year from breast cancer. So it's very emotional, but I just felt the time was right to play it for her and for you guys because we had such a great time this weekend at the first annual. We call it our inaugural because first annual isn't correct. First annual is kind of like an oxymoron because it hasn't happened yet. So basically it was our first road race of many to come, and it was very successful. We had a really great time. We had a good turnout. The weather was beautiful. There was plenty of food, plenty of good company, and we were just happy to be able to be in a beautiful place that she would have loved and have family and friends together remembering her and remembering some of the good times that we had. Later in the show, we're going to have our Ambassador Queen Darlene call in because she was there, and she's going to be able to fill us in on some of the things that she did on Sunday and also some of the things she has coming up this week. She will be calling in at the 10 o'clock hour to update us. Also, we will have the amazing, energetic bunny, Shelly Nunchuk. She is my partner in Blog Talk. She keeps the fort down on Wednesdays and Sundays. And I figure it's a good thing to get together at least once a month and do a show together. So she's going to update us on some of the cool things she has coming up. She has some acting stuff that she's got coming on and some other good stuff. So I'll let her fill you in on that. In a little while, we're going to have Frankie and Virginia calling in. He was on our show back in 2009, I think, or 2010, somewhere in there. He was one of our first few guests that we had on the show. He's had quite the life, done a lot of really good things. So we'll have him talk to us about that as well. I have to tell you, I had an epiphany today. It's Tuesday, Thoughtful Tuesday. I have to share this with you at the beginning of the show. I like to share a thought with you to keep you with for the whole week. And obviously, I like to do it at the beginning of the show so we don't have to rush at the end of the show when we run out of time with all these amazing guests. But so today, I went to the mall, and I'm not a big mall person, never have been, but there's a mall near where we live now, and I figured, well, it's kind of chilly. It was very chilly in Pennsylvania this morning. We were hitting low 40s, high 30s, and I know, I'm from Boston, and everybody wears shorts in 30-degree weather, but I was a little too chilly for my taste, so I dropped the boys off at school and decided, you know what, let me give it a whirl. I've heard really good things about going to the mall and going for walks and stuff, so I tried it out. It wasn't bad, by the way. It was quite entertaining for me that you make the big loop and, you know, you get your miles in. But one of the things that I want to share is the observation that I made. I don't consider myself to be your average person, obviously, by the show that I host and the things that I've done in my life. And I do realize that our generation, we're the cusp baby boomers. We were the ones that were born probably at the end year of what is considered a baby boomer. We were born in the mid-60s, late-60s. So we're definitely on the later end of the baby boomers. So we're kind of like the last of the so-called baby boomers that were born. One of the things that I've noticed about my generation is that we have a tendency to be more progressive. We'll be in our late 40s, early 50s. We dress differently. We talk differently. We know how to use a cell phone. We know how to use a computer. We know what Twitter is. We know what Instagram is. We have Facebook. We know a lot more about technology. We're more involved. We're willing to take more risks. We're definitely not our grandparents. I noticed that we're more active. We go running, we do road races, we try things like mountain climbing and rock climbing and parasailing, and I think we're willing to take more risks. Also, I think we were in an era where we were able to kind of be more financially set, not wealthy or super rich, but I think we're in a financial situation that we can do a little bit more than our parents were able to. With that said, I noticed today, so I'm walking around the mall, and I'm a people watcher, obviously, because I love to write, and this is where I get my ideas. So I noticed these elderly people, and when I mean elderly, I'm talking 70-ish, probably 80-ish, and they are fully dressed, the ladies have their makeup on, they look amazing, and they're walking around the mall. And they're laughing, and they're having a good time, and just really living life. And one of the things I notice is that they're basically saying, hey, good morning, how are you, how's it going? And they're waving, and you can tell that some of them see each other every morning, but they were also willing to say, hey, what's up to me, the newbie in the crew and a few other people. So what I noticed was the fact that they had this zestful life and this energy, and they just kind of had slowed it down a notch to enjoy life more and see that. Then I noticed people my age were like, get out of my way, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. And one of them I noticed, actually, it was funny in a sad kind of way. So there's this gentleman who's obviously recuperating either from some form of stroke or some physical ailment, and he has his cane, and obviously he's rehabbing in the mall because it's level ground and he's able to do that. Well, this person my age decides that, well, this person just wasn't moving fast enough for them. So they're going to cut them off and almost knock the poor man over And I'm thinking, where's the fire? Or are they giving away Gucci bags? That's why this person's knocking this poor man over. Which obviously neither was the case. And then I reflected back on the fact that we as humans really need to slow it down a little bit. One of the things I posted on my blog, on my Facebook, was the fact that I felt like this person's action kind of knocked him down a few rungs on the humanity ladder, in the sense that you just nearly knocked someone over physically, but you also knocked them over emotionally and psychologically, because this person is evident that they were active in their life, they weren't overweight, they were fit, but it was evident that they were overcoming some illness. And the fact that they were out there and that they were really, you know, giving it their all, it just, when you do that, you're going to cut this person off and then give them the stinky eye, as I tell my grandchildren when they do that. I'm like, what good could possibly come from it? Because of the fact that you just psychologically and physically reminded this person of the fact that they're not where they used to be and that other people are faster than them. And my thing with that is, what could possibly be so important that you feel the need to do that to someone? To knock them down a notch, to just, like I said, it was just, I don't mean to say that this person meant to do it, but it was just so, as my grandson would say, rude. It was kind of rude. It really was. So the thing that I walked away from that, and not to make it a negative thing, the thing that I walked away from that is that sometimes in life when we're trying to cut out a second here, a minute there, at the end of it, is it really something that we're gaining? Is there something really worthwhile that we're going to be gaining from this action that we did? I mean, are you really going to get that much accomplished in that minute? I mean, obviously, if it's a life emergency and you're going to help someone or that kind of thing, totally different scenario. But in the spectrum of life, when you're driving and you feel the need to cut someone off, or you're driving and you feel the need to literally run somebody over because they're crossing the street instead of letting them go, or you don't let vehicles come into traffic, what really are you going to gain? I mean, are you really that late for work? And if you're already late for work, is that minute or 30 seconds that you're making up getting there really going to make that much of a difference? Is your boss going to say to you, oh, well, you're only 9 minutes and 30 seconds late as opposed to 10 minutes, so you're good? It's silly. It's very silly, and it's very dangerous on top of that. But my whole thing is that lately we seem to be rushing around and just, I don't know, we are on some fast track to nowhere. And my thought for Tuesday is, guys, really reflect back and think about it. Yes, life goes by fast. Yes, our children go from babies to, you know, middle schoolers to high schoolers to in college to having their own kids. I understand that. But there's a difference between living our life to the fullest and rushing around for no reason and just forgetting our humanity. So what I really want to encourage you guys is to reflect back and think, what can I do to enjoy life more? What can I do to really reflect? Let me just sit here for 2 seconds and look around and take it in. Let me really, instead of telling my son to rush for the 100th time, let me reflect back and look at him. Think about him. That child will never be the same again, because tomorrow he'll be a whole day older and more developed and more another person. So we need to enjoy that. And I'm saying this from experience, because one of the things you have to realize with kids is that they will ask you to play with you, to help you, to hang out with you. And if you say no long enough, after a while they stop asking. And then you're going to be the one asking, and they're going to be like, ah, no, I'm all set. So guys, I really want to encourage you guys, slow it down, enjoy life. I know the biggest thing is everybody complains about Mondays. Mondays are awful. We got to go back to work. Put a spin on it. What a horrific way to start the week when we're right off the bat going, oh, this stinks, and we're rushing, waiting for life to just go by so it's Friday again. You're basically wishing your life away. So try to take a challenge from me for next Monday to try to really be grateful that day. Be grateful you have a job. Be grateful you have a car to get to work, or you have money for the bus or the train, or that you are able to physically go to work and you don't have a drug addiction or you're not ill or you're not going through some other horrible thing that keeps you from enjoying your job. And I say enjoying because even if it's something you don't enjoy doing, you're enjoying it because at the end of the day, it does afford you a paycheck and it gives you the opportunity to do things with it. So that's my thought for the day. Bring your humanity up a couple of notches and just really, really try to be a better human being, not just to everybody else, but to yourself. So with that said, I really want to play this song because I think it's appropriate with what we just talked about. So we're going to listen to this beautiful song called Change by Sacrifice Situ and Jenna Donovan.
Looking for a new life, searching for a change.
Yeah.
Don't look down, gotta keep my head up.
Let's go.
Life seems short, it can only get better.
I've been to the bottom I never liked. So I quickly made it, exit my best as I'm changing flights. I made it bright, my sights an amazing light. So I try to be my finest, my highest, I made it right. I made changes, a stranger to giving life. But a wife and some children can build it and make it right. I'm making nice, two lives, I'm living twice. Once was long ago, the other is really nice. I'm searching for a new life, searching for a change. Working like a servant for these merchants for a chain. Searching for a purpose for my service in the game. Now I circuit for my purpose, never nervous when I blaze. I get it working, put my word in for my pain. My verbiage keep me surging when I turn it into gain. I'm never turning, only learning when I aim. So I serve it with a purpose, Mr. Perfect, make it rain. Walked the way cause I maxed out. Went to college road, met some dames and blew they back out. School didn't help, I stayed the same, I had to lash out. Teachers telling me keep it moving, dog, this ain't for you. My fam waiting to see if the things I say come true. But truthfully in my heart, your boy just stayed confused. So Brady dropped the beat, now everybody changed their view. But there's no room on this bandwagon, your man jamming. Less than a quarter mil, I can't have it, I can't stand it. Stay away, I can't manage. This shit bleeds through my veins like guitars from Van Halen. I can't relax, I'm about to put mass back on the map. If you ask some gas, these new rappers is trash. And I ain't saying I'm the best to do it. I'm just saying that my heart's invested in this music.
When I strain, I was trained to never falter, always braver on the range. Overcoming obstacles, hurdling the next. Change of life a crime, using words to be the best. Burning for my courage in the verses that I bless. So it's still a life of crime because I'm murdering this text. Always keep my head up, never looking to the ground. Always looking for a new look, always booking to the sound. Music made me do it, always push it to the clouds. Or the ground that kept me grounded when I pounded on the ground. Please envision a vision you never saw. Where a life that you live in is bigger and never flawed. The big picture depicted and made us hard. So Jenna, bring us heaven when you singing for the stars.
And that was Change by Sacrifice, Situ, and Jenna Donovan. And I totally apologize. I forgot I was live on the air. I just threw an almond in my mouth. You probably hear like crunch, 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 crunch. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so this past Sunday, as I was talking earlier, we had our first 5K. It was so much fun. I think the most fun we had was because we got a few people to run that normally don't run, like my son Alex. I cannot believe this kid's in his 30s and this is his first 5K. He wound up actually coming in, I think, first or second in his division, so it was pretty cool to see that. And my husband ran the race as well. He wound up coming first in his age division. I ran it. And, yeah, I came in first in my age division, which is a cool thing because when you get older, I won't say old, but when you get older, the cool thing is that if you just show up, that's half the battle a lot of the time because you show up and there's no one else in your age group. So you're like, woohoo, I won. But it was so much fun. And the funniest thing was watching the little kids with the fun run. They were just so cool. And watching them get their medals and then walking around with their little medals and stuff. So, yeah, we did. We had a lot of fun, and it was really something. It was something that we enjoyed, and it was something that I'm glad we finally did. To let you guys know, Sarah Joy Foundation, that is our foundation. We will be doing a Toys for Tots drive. Hello. Nothing like having another phone ring when you're live on the air. Yeah, so we're going to be having a Tots drive, a Toys for Tots drive. That'll be starting off next week. So if you are interested and you want to contribute, please let us know. We will have an agent of our organization. We'll be actually collecting toys in Massachusetts, and we also will be having spots here in Pennsylvania as well. And if you're not in any of those states, then you are more than welcome to let us know that you'd be interested, and we are more than happy to take donations, and we can buy a toy that will be donated in your name, and then you can be the one that gives that toy. And I'm sorry, I sound a little distracted right now because I'm having a little bit of a glitch here. But, yeah, so if you want to donate, you're more than welcome to. You can go to our website, let us know. We will be setting up the link for that within the next week, where it will be specifically for Toys for Tots. And you can actually make a donation and say that it's specifically for Toys for Tots, and then you'll be able to make someone's Christmas so much better, because that's one thing that really stinks when Santa Claus forgets your house on a certain time of year. So we'd like to be able to put a smile on kids' faces this year by making sure that Santa Claus has a little something for them, or the Marines in this case, because they're the ones that delivers the toys. Last year, as some of you know, our grandsons had, after their mom passed away, we had these two Marines come to the house with gifts. So it was an amazing experience for them, because to this day, they think that the Marines are the ones that deliver toys instead of Santa Claus. And I'm sure our friend Lenny Lindsay thinks it's awesome because he's hardcore Marine. So, yeah. So that's going to be the thing we're going to be kicking off. We are also planning a beef and beer event in Massachusetts. That's going to be coming up probably at the beginning, either the end of November, beginning of December. It'll be a fun event, plenty to eat, plenty to drink, and all the proceeds will go to our Toys for Tots drive during the month of December. Now, the big announcement. Listen, we're going to be putting this up. We have a generous donation of 2 Pearl Jam tickets for the concert that is going to be in Massachusetts. I think it's at the Boston Garden. I'm not quite sure. I'll double check the details when they go up. But we have a gift package. It's 2 tickets to the Pearl Jam concert, a dinner before, and we're still working on getting them a limo ride. We're hoping we can do that. But if not, we'll definitely figure out something for transportation. Now, the way for you to get this is if you can let us know of someone that you know that is a Pearl Jam fan and who has gone through cancer or is going through cancer and would love to go to the concert, please let us know. Hit us up on our website, sarahjoyfoundation.org, or you can email me at info@sarahjoyfoundation.org. I'm going to put that up on our chat room. And what I'd like you to do is just write a little short essay telling us why this person should be the one to go see Pearl Jam. And again, This is for people that are going through cancer or are going through chemo, have cancer, are in remission. But it's a way for us to kind of cheer them up a little bit, get them out of the house for a bit, and be able to have them enjoy life and be able to feel normal again. Because that's one of the hardest things about when you're going through chemo, from what Sarah used to tell us. She's like, it's like, and Darlene has discussed this as well. She's like, you just don't feel like yourself. You feel like your whole life came to a stop. And you're all about hospitals and chemo and radiation and treatment. And we'd like to take them out of that, if only for a night. We also will be having the same thing coming up for Bruins tickets. So if you know of an avid Bruins fan, preferably a guy. Not that women don't like hockey. I know, ladies, we love hockey just as much. But we all know when it comes to cancer, the ladies get most of the attention. We know this, with the exception of prostate cancer. But people forget, guys get breast cancer too. Guys go through the same thing. So we would like to know if you know of a male, a guy that is going through chemo or radiation or has been diagnosed with cancer, and you would like him to have the opportunity to just get out of the house for a while and have a good time. We have these Bruin tickets with dinner and hopefully transportation as well. So hit us up. You know where to find us. And hopefully we can have some people have a really good time for at least a night and be able to get out of it and forget about it. Now I have my cohort on. We're going to have Shelly come in early because I think it's important that we connect. And I'm just going to put her on. Yes, Miss Shelly.
Hello, girlfriend. What up?
Hey, what up, girlfriend? Long time no talk.
Yeah,
I have to say that because
I
know, I miss you too. It's funny because people are like, oh, you guys must hang out all the time. No, Shelly's in Maine and I am in Pennsylvania. So, yes, we do run a show together and, yes, we are like do a lot of things together. But, no, we're not attached at the hip as much as we would love to.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's starting to be like the North Pole cold up here again. I'm like, what is this? This is September.
Oh, my gosh. Are you telling me that this morning I got up, and I one of the things I do enjoy about living in Pennsylvania, as much as I miss Boston, is that here it gets colder.
Does this drop? Hello, Charlie.
Well, hello. Nothing like getting cut off in the middle of a show. Awkward. Hi, guys. We're back. I don't know what just happened. The whole switchboard, everything just clicked out. Let me get Shelly back. Shelly,
yes,
you there?
I have a craptastic phone.
No, I wasn't you. It was like the whole show just clicked out. It went,
I don't know what happened because this happened on Sunday, and I'm like, you know how I am. I zap computers and stuff. Well, you know, this happened, and I'm looking at my guests
on
the show.
Nope, the whole thing just clicked out. I don't know what happened. So we apologize to our listeners because that usually doesn't happen. I mean, it does happen once in a great while, but not like that where you're like, okay, I'm in mid-conversation. So, Shelly, the reason I wanted to have you on the show is because I want to know what is going on with this Kato costume you're working on.
Oh! it's kind of a dream come true for me because I was a director. I got to try to pronounce his name right. Like, wait a minute. Let me bring up the Facebook page because I try not to say people's names wrong. His name is Alan. Let's see. Let me just bring up my Facebook page. Hold on 1 second. Alan. Hold on. I'm trying to bring it up. You know how I do. I try to multitask like you. I take after you. Of course, I just have to shout out Facebook.
Yeah, I think this is why we get along so well, because we're constantly doing that.
I'm like, what the heck is going on here? I just got kicked out of Facebook. My computer's going nuts.
Yeah. Like people don't realize that Shelly is like this woman of many talents. Like one of the things is she told us that she used to do archery. So the other day, at the beginning of this year, for the movie that we're working on, one of the things that the director Z wanted us to learn how to do is to practice with archery. So here's Shelly, and I'm like, I'm not going to lie. I'm struggling with this thing because there was two types. There was the compression bow, was it?
It's a it was a long bow and a compound bow. And
so the compound
bow
is literally like a gun attached to a bow because of the fact that it's more accurate and the way you pull it back and stuff. But even then, it takes, you know, you got to have that upper body strength to really pull on it. So I'm like, oh, I got this, so got that. But then when it came to the long bow, I'm like, holy moly. And then Shelly picks that sucker up like nothing. And next thing you know, the arrow is like shooting through the sky and right into the bullseye. I'm like, oh,
yeah, it's kind of interesting because I was on an archery league when I was little. I did all these weird things. Don't even ask me why. I never understood. But it's making sense now because of stuff that I'm doing in my life now. And, yeah, I still have that picture of me shooting the bow from last winter. And it's just something, I think it's a natural talent because even though I'm from Boston, half my family's from Montana, and I think it's just some of the hunters thing that I have in my blood. Not that I go out
right,
for
right.
animals, but it's just something that I can do. And I was actually on an archery league when I was younger. It was all men. And I was actually one of the worst ones at first. And when I was shooting, we were doing it in the wintertime, and it was Danvers Middleton Fish and Game Club. And I would shoot the arrow, and it would hit something and bounce back, and it almost shot the other archers. And I was the worst
oh
one
my
at
gosh.
The time, so... Yeah, so I was to shoot people.
Sounds
and
like me golfing.
Yeah, it's something that I learned. But then the one thing that I did learn from my father was archery. And he said that my left hand or whatever hand, I can't remember what it was, but he strapped a stick to my hand so it wouldn't bend. And I just learned from then. And then they started about 20 yards away. And I'm half blind, so I had to go on senses. And I don't have any sight. on the bows. It was just a regular, you know, long bow. And then I did the compound bow. And the funny thing is they have all these sights and everything that I get so confused. I'm like, what is all this stuff on it nowadays? When I was on an archery league, I didn't have sights. I didn't have scopes or anything. I just shot the bow with the arrow. And they used to swing a little bungee cord at 20 yards and swing a little cup, and I used to hit it. And this was just on basic
instinct. That's crazy.
It was,
that is crazy.
You know, it's
I
not
mean,
anything. I can't use scopes
it is.
And stuff.
It's amazing to me that you can.
Yeah. Why did this... Hello? No idea.
Yeah, we're back. I have no idea what's going on. Glitchy everywhere. Yeah, Shelly,
you know,
are you back?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, you're talking, and it's just my phone's still connected, but it just died. And I'm like, I hope my phone is not dying on me right now.
No,
it's
not you. It's me. For some reason, the switchboard's acting up. But anyway, so one of the things that I was going to ask you was, it's funny how it's like muscle memory, because you just picked up that bow and went right back to it like nothing. Because I know it's been a while since you actually shot one, right?
Yeah, it was something like, I think the last time when I was in Montana, it was like 15 years ago. So I was like, I think I can really do it. Just give me the bow. And I said, all right, let me try the longbow, because with the compound bow, it had like some sort of sight. And then it's like you had to hook your hand and lock it in with the string or the you know. I was like, what is this? And I was like, I can't shoot like that. I feel very uncomfortable. I don't like to be attached to the bow. I guess that's how they do it, but... It's just old-fashioned hunter skills. And I was like, I felt nervous, and I said, I can't do this. I can't lock my hand. It's like some sort of glove, and it's kind of locked to the string. I can't explain it. You'd have to, like, look it up. And I'm going, I can't shoot the bow like that. So I said, can I try the longbow? And it says, okay. So it was just basic hunter instincts, and I could still shoot. And it's just something that I learned. I just have that thing. It just stayed with me. And I'm like, not bad for a Bostonian.
No, I'm telling you, I was impressed because I, you know, we take that for granted because everybody thinks that if you can shoot a weapon like a handgun or a rifle or an M4 or an M16, it's pretty impressive. But that long bow, I was like, wow, it is really impressive because of the fact that I knew that you hadn't shot it in a while and your accuracy was on point, you know, within the second arrow. So it was pretty cool. So I wanted to ask you, what is going on with Kato in that uniform, in the costume?
Well, I was approached by a director on Facebook. His name is Alan Dingingham. And I was just like, and he contacted me and he says, would you like to be a ninja in a film? And I had no idea what this film was about. And I'm like, ooh, yes, it's a dream come true of mine because ever since I was growing up, I never wanted to be Barbie. I always wanted to be a ninja. And I'm an action chick girl. I've watched, you know, from the A-Team to MacGyver. I grew up watching, you know, I'm a old school geek and a nerd. It's totally the stuff I'm into. And it's not like I watch the stuff to get guys' attention or get a rise out of them. I really love the stuff. So it's stuff that I really am into. And, you know, after, like, leaving Boston about 4 years ago, you know, coming up to Maine and, you know, trying to contact more people and such, you know, Alan did approach me. I forget who asked him, but he says, you want to be a ninja? I said, sure. So we're going to have, it's all the guys are, all the ninjas are all guys but me. And I have some of the experience, some basic martial arts skills. And, you know, I have like two pairs of ninjas and my bow staff. It's just basic skills that I have. So then this year, actually, I had wanted to dedicate, I was going to do a photo shoot. I was trying to do a couple of them, but, you know, the photographer that I use, he's really kind of cool. And he's helped me with one of the photo shoots that I did with the red dress. And that, I was supposed to do another shoot I wanted to do as the Crow. Because what I wanted to do this year was the big anniversary of the passing of Bruce and Brandon Lee. So it's something I wanted to do, you know, something, a dedication. And so since I was going to be a ninja, I said, you know what? I don't really have that much money to get a really good ninja uniform, and I saw a Kato uniform, and Kato was a character Bruce Lee played, and then it also was redone by this other actor recently within the last couple of years, and I was like, wow, and also Donnie Yen actually played, I forget the name of the character in his film, he dressed up like Kato, and I said, you know what, this I can dedicate this film role to Brandon and Bruce Lee. So as soon as I got the costume, I kept asking. I know everybody has a schedule and stuff, but I wanted to take pictures. So I said, I'm going to use my cell phone. I'm going to put on a mask and the hat and took a couple of pictures. And lo and behold, I said, I'm going to be Kato. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. I'm going to be a ninja and I'm going to dress up like Kato. And I'm just like, I can't wait for this.
That is awesome, though. It's definitely something that you are fit for, and it's great that you get the opportunity to do it. So what are some of, do you know some of the scenes that you're going to be doing? Is there choreography or do you know anything about that, or is that something?
It's going to be, see, it's like I'm going to be so, I think I'm going to be a little stressed and nervous because the way the schedule is, I don't think the guys can get together for us to practice a fight scene. So what's going to happen, we're going to have to choreograph the fight scene that day. And there's also, I'm also going to be fighting this other girl, Laura, and she's going to kick my butt. I just know it because she has more experience than me. I says, be careful what you wish for. And I was like, and you know, like we had this little chat room that Alan set up for all us ninjas. And he says, Alan said that, like, we have the most active message board because I talk and talk and talk. And I talk about everything in there. People must think I'm, like, nuts, but I think once they meet up with me, they're going to understand my energy and stuff because I can't pass on into words exactly what I want to say all the time on the internet, and the outer conversation gets lost on the internet. But when someone hears me on my own radio show or they meet me, they get me, and it's like then that's why I can make better connections. And that day, I don't know what's going to happen. I says, you know, Alan, why don't you, like, have a car run, like, do it towards me where, like, when Jackie jumped up on a car and he ran over it. And you can do that, like, at the car. Someone says, why don't you try to run me over with a car and stuff? But I can't give away what the whole film is about. It's called Essential Realism, and they're doing an Indiegogo to, you know, collect money for it. But I just know that I'm in a ninja scene. I went over and stuff, and I just, we're not, I mean, like most films, like most indie films, what happens is you don't rehearse with anybody. You just go there and you film the film that day. There's no rehearsals half the time. You just go and you film. So it's really hard, and it's like, I don't know how good of a fight scene we can choreograph in a couple of hours. So it's kind of like, I'm going to try my best. Well, I'll give my all, you know.
But you'd be surprised, because one of the things I've learned, I know that we have really good actors in Boston, and we have some really great stunt people in the New England area in general, not just Boston. But one of the things that I learned is when I started doing some work in New York, and back in a couple of years back, I think, when was it, 2010 or 2011, I actually got to work on the Batman movie, the last one that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew my mind that they have, obviously, they had three units of stunt people. They had the first unit, which were the people that had been training for months, and they're the ones that were the hardcore group that was with Christian Bale and the guy playing Bane. But then they had the second unit, which was the group I was in. We were brought in for a week of training. They basically wanted to see if we had basic blocking skills, basic stances, that kind of thing. And then the third unit was background. They just brought background that had some combat experience of some type, but they were basically background. So the thing that happened was the three units never got to really rehearse together. The first unit obviously rehearsed with Christian Bale and Bane, but the second unit and the third unit never got to rehearse all together. I'll tell you, Shel, the one thing that blew my mind was to see so-called background actors choreographing these elaborate fight scenes on the spot. And the reason it really blew my mind was because they knew realistically that the odds of them actually being picked up on film and being seen in a huge fight scene when you have 300 people are very rare.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not going to pee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're like, okay, you throw me up on the newsstand and I'll roll down and then I'll grab your foot and we'll roll around. So they were doing this in between takes. And then I realized that I caught myself doing the same thing with these other two girls that we were fighting against, where, you know, one of them got handcuffed and the other one got away. So it really goes to show that when you have the training like you do and these other people that you're going to be working with, it's crazy how that training just kicks in and all of a sudden you can come up with a really amazing kick-ass fight scene that looks like, oh, they must have rehearsed that for months. When you really
well,
have
I hope
it,
so.
Because it's very easy. No, I'm
yeah.
telling you. I've noticed
yeah,
that.
I think
it's,
we can,
it's funny,
you know,
especially with that background.
Yeah, I know we can do it because one of the guys, his name is Tim. I'm trying to remember everybody's name, but Tim is actually a martial artist. And one of the guys, I think it's Jesse, one of them is, well, the rest of the guys are parkour people. I don't know if they have any martial arts talent, so I guess with all the flips and everything, you know, whatever they're going to choreograph, because it's not my film. I says, I'm going to go there. I'm just really honored that Alan asked me to be a ninja. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'll
mm-hmm.
have to wait. I saw this. He sent me the script for the scene with the ninjas. And I'm sitting here going, okay. And it's really hard to try to put it in picture action when you're trying to picture that in words. You kind of have to see it, like understand it or a storyboard, because you have to picture that in your head when you're reading it. It's not like you're seeing a picture, so you have to imagine yourself, like, seeing how the fight scene's going to go. So then, like I says, he's going to have me fight Lauren from fighting. I guess the thing I've known, I guess I can take a good beating. It's like
mm-hmm.
pretty crazy, but, you know, as you know, I've worked with Horace Cordeliza. And he was, you know, I mean, he's lost a lot of weight, but at the time when I fought him, you know, he's a major martial artist. He knows about Aikido and many martial arts, and I trained with him for a year in Tai Chi. And he says, even before I trained, he goes, well, Shelly, you're going to fight me in a scene. At first I was excited, but then I almost pooped my pants because I'm going,
yeah.
You? Me? I didn't know what to say, so it really scared the crap out of me the damn shooting, because here he is, and I'm like so timid, and I'm like, he goes, come on, Shelly, hit me. And I'm going, huh? He goes, no, really hit me, because this person not really hit someone. He goes, just hit me, Shelly, hit me. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to hit you. I grenades. You're like a mosquito. And I'm like, oh, my dear God. So when he grabbed me, the first time he threw me, because we had no padding, we had nothing on the ground,
mm-mm.
He threw me, and I hit the ground, and I bounced. And I went, it's not in the film or anything, but I went, huh. When I hit the ground, I was like, oh, crap, this hurts. And I'm going, I stood up, and I was, like, drunk, and he says, this is what you wanted, Shelly. Come on, get me. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so I'm getting all mad, like, really mad. I'm trying to go to him, and you can hear in the scene, you go, like, really getting mad. So then he's like, you know, this is going on for 2.5 hours, 3 hours, and he had to get me really mad because I don't really like to fight, but that's what you got to do on the scene. And, you know, and then he kicked me. He really kicked me, not really hard, but he booted me on the butt, and I fell down. I was like, ah! And I came out there with a mustache and started swinging, and he beat the crap out of me. And I'm going, and he wasn't even going full force, and I'm going, oh, my dear God, this hurts. And ever since then, it gave me a whole new respect. I mean, I've always loved action films, but actually doing this stuff, I've just been very, you know, in that place of these people that I've watched my whole life and gone, this stuff really hurts. It really, really does. And just trying to evolve. Now, I'm not claiming I'm anything near Bruce Lee or Brandon Lee, but connecting mm-hmm. more with stunt people and sitting around, I have more ninja pals now. So I feel very lucky and very blessed, and I am connecting with people I never thought I would. And like with Alan, when he approached me, I almost wanted to cry because I remember, and this is like, you know everything about me, why I left Boston and everything like that, but I remember one time, one of my exes, right, I was showing in my book, The Warrior Within, which was a Bruce Lee, and it shows
right.
a picture of Bruce Lee, and he's in a Kato costume, and he kicks up in a chandelier or something, he breaks it, and I says, oh, I want to be like that, I want to do that in film, and he goes, what the beat for, and I was like, huh, and he was like, that's stupid, and I was just like, what? And that's mm-hmm. how, like, I was around people like that, and I says, well, you can't do that. You're too old. You're too this. You're too that. And I
oh,
used
yeah.
to literally, yeah, I literally, any of my exes, I would literally get into fights, arguments in cars, being yelled at by these guys, and they were saying to me, like, why do you want to fight guys? Literally screaming matches. I'm like, I don't want to fight in real life. It's just on screen. It's an art form. You're using your body. I mean, I'm not being naked or anything, I'm doing a fight scene and doing it as an art form. The fights that I used to get into, so when it's kind of a change of pace, it's coming full circle, but in a good way. So it's a symbol of me, the day September 29th, when I don that Kato's costume, that's kind of like really telling no one can ever tell me no ever again. So when I put that on, it's just not an independent film for me. It's a symbol
mm-hmm.
of my freedom where I'm like, no, you can't tell me no because I'm going to do it. Plus, it's going to be like the best birthday I've ever had because a week before my birthday, I'm turning 43, and here I am a week before my birthday, I'm playing ninja.
That's
freaking
awesome. You know, I'm telling you, it's like, that's one of the things, like before when I was talking about, you know, my thought for the week is the fact that our generation is totally different. Like I have a nephew that lives in Florida. He's an administrator, a medical administrator, and he sent me a link for a study that was done that says that aging really is in your mind. The reason you slow down, the reason you can't do certain things is because you tell yourself that that's what's going to happen. People expect old people to be old and shrinkled and whatever, but that's not the case. That's only happens if you tell yourself that. So that's why I love when someone like yourself or even some of the encouragement that I've had that there isn't anything we really can't learn or do. Age is only a number, as we all have been told. And the fact is that Hollywood has sold this lie that if you are, you know, if you're not 15 or 20 and if you're not like a certain this size or that size, you look a certain way. But the reality is, I mean, look at the guys that have shown this now. You have Sly Stallone. You have Chuck Norris.
Jackie Chan.
You have
Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. You have, you know, all these guys from The Expendables showing us that, hey, these guys in their 50s, 60s, and 70s with Chuck Norris can still make pretty credible action heroes and can have fun doing it, can make fun of themselves, but really entertain us. And that is a huge testament to showing that we don't have to slow down. And you're absolutely right. People think that when you see a fight scene, they're like, oh, it's fake. It's just, you know, they're just going through the motions and then it gets speed up. No, when you're doing a fight scene, like that whole week that I worked on that set, I wasn't main characters or anything, but I came home black and blue. Because mm-hmm. you're running and you're grabbing each other, and you know as well as I do that when you do the fight scenes and you're grabbing each other, you can't go at it all gingerly and whatever. You have to literally grab each other to make it look realistic. And yes,
yeah.
you do get beat up, and you definitely get all black and blue over it. So, and the fact that here you are, like you said, at 43 and you're going to play a ninja, I think is totally kick-ass, and I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, I also learned, too, along the way, because you do have to, like, grow up in an adult way where it's, I'm kind, I'm a good person, and the thing is, like, being around the wrong people and the wrong guys, and the thing is, I seem to like guys, they were just, you know, like, ordinary-looking guys, but they would turn around and tell me, besides the whole martial art thing, I wasn't good enough to be with them because they actually said to my face, you know, I'm not pretty enough to be with them. And learning from that, and it's like everybody has their own free will, and it's like, you know what, that's perfectly fine. And I think it was maybe their insecurities or something. I don't know if it was to do with the martial arts or they just, it was just something that I just, you know, they wanted something that I wasn't. And I can't be Barbie. I don't know what it is, but it's like I show on my Facebook page the things that I love, and I know that sometimes what women do. And they'll like mm-hmm. something just to get a guy to like them, even if they don't know what it's about, like other things to wear, you know, handling weapons. You know, I see women,
right.
as I don't judge people, but guns and swords, and they're like, they're in these, like, kind of sexual positions where they're licking guns, like these are real guns, or licking swords. And I'm sitting there, and, you know, they have a gun between their legs, and I'm like, do they want to get their brain shut out, their hoo-ha shut off or something like that? And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, seriously, you know what I'm talking about. These are real weapons. And it's like, you know, to be a sexy woman's one thing, and believe me, I'm going to have sexy women on my show that are beautiful, gorgeous stunt women, but we learn to respect weapons, and it's like, this is stuff that we were doing, and it's not to get a rise out of a guy or to do that to get a man's attention. These are stuff that we like, because I see that with women. I said, oh, I'm not going to judge, but, you know, things that I like, I think guys think if they meet me, I'm going to turn into Barbie. And I'm like, no, I am not Barbie at all. I don't know what they think, because it just blows my mind. Or if I'm with a guy for a little while and they think I'm going to turn into this housewife or something like that, I'm like, what are you thinking? What the hell are you thinking? I am not like this little thing that's going to sit and bake you muffins. I mean, as much as I'll eat the muffins, you know, I like baking, but reality is I'm the worst cook in the world. And the stereotype mm-hmm. thing, because I'm somewhat Italian, they're like, oh, you can cook. Oh, baby, cook me. They're like, no, I am the worst cook in the world. I use Ella microwave. So it's like all these things that I've learned along the way, you know, even surrounding myself. My problem was I wasn't aware of my potential. And I just kept saying,
right.
there has to be a way. So, you know, like you and my big sister and other people like Z and other people, and they're coming. The stunt people are coming. And I've had these great people on my show. And I feel like they're really, you know, in the last 4 years, you know, I found out people that really aren't my friends. Because they're always saying,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'm too busy. Because the thing is, and I just wrote this, it's in a private post on my Facebook wall, right? I do this Will Smith thing because everybody says, you know, I'm too busy. Now, I live up in Maine, right, which is a 2.5-hour
mm-hmm.
drive from Boston. I don't have a car, right, and it's like, you know, I don't have the money for a train ticket. And people saying I'm too busy. It's a 2.5-hour ride from Boston, right? And
mm-hmm.
then they're saying, oh, if you move to California, I'll come and visit you. And I'm like, no, if I was moving out to California, it was to work. I'm not looking to have a big party. I would rather have less people around me and be around me for me being what I am than have millions of people to kiss my butt for something that I'm not. So Right. No, seriously, I don't want people around me that aren't going to be supportive. So in this last 4 years, when people have said, I'm too busy, but see people go everywhere else. They can go to, like, out of the United States. They can go to New York. And people, you know, I'm like, okay, I understand about people's life being busy. But I was like, I'll just remember that, like, you know, what they say, karma or whatever goes around. I'll remember who's been there
right.
for me. You know. And I do understand,
no,
I do understand
because,
about a busy life, you know.
No, but you've covered on two points. And this is something that I've reiterated to women, especially women, because women, we need to really get serious with this, because one of the things that gets me is, why do women read beauty magazines? You sit there and you buy Cosmo and you buy Vogue and you buy all these other magazines, and then you're looking at these pictures of women that are 6'1", 6'2", they weigh 110 to 115 pounds, which is severely underweight. Not only that, they Photoshop them to within a life of themselves. And then you're sitting there all depressed because, oh, I don't look like that. Well, thank God you don't look like that, because if you saw these women in real life, you're like, holy crap, this woman looks like she's going to keel over. And I think there's a misperception, too, because that's one of the things that I'm grateful for, because I know exactly where you're coming from. From my first husband was so set in his ways that the thought of me shooting a gun or running a marathon or playing soccer was, like, weird to him. Like, wait, women don't do that. But my husband now, Mel, is so different, where I remember when I was taking martial arts, one of the funny things that he would do to me and the kids that were taking classes was he would literally jump out at us. And if we didn't react, yeah, it was pretty cool. Because now, I mean, obviously, if people that didn't know us saw it, they'd be like, what the hell is going on? But it was pretty funny, because what he would do that, where he would just, all of a sudden, he would jump out at us, and he's like, well, if you guys don't block me, I'm wasting my money. So after a while, it got to the point that he would jump out, and we'd be like, block, 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 slide, kick, and, you know, giggle. But in a way, that was very encouraging, because when our son Chris decided to play football, he had that down, you know, that how to block, how to watch myself, that kind of thing. So it was really interesting to see that, to have that support coming from him in that sense, and the fact that, you know, he used to go to my soccer games when I decided I wanted to play soccer in my 40s because I never got the opportunity to play when I was younger. So to have that support, and women really need to realize that, like you said, Shelley, some women will be chameleons. They turn to be whoever happens to be the guy they're with. And honestly, that is so sad, because what winds up happening is the fact that you eventually have to become yourself again. And mm-hmm. you're not the person that person started dating, if you do that, as opposed to, this is who I am, deal with it. Yes, I'll put a dress on, and yes, I will put heels on, but most likely I will be trying to lug a sword or do a split with it. You know what I mean? And yes, I can put makeup on and look very girly for certain things, but then I'm going to be running around barefoot, hanging out with the kids, playing with them. So women in general need to realize that they need to stop that. Just like I remember when I coached soccer in the high schools, these girls knew were 4.0s. You knew all this society. All of a sudden, they're asking the dumb questions because I don't know, not be smart than the guy that's talking to. Honestly, why would you? Because it's going to happen. You're going to have to be dumb for the rest of your life. Wind up marrying this person. Or this person all of a sudden is going to go, wait, I thought this chick was dumb to me. She knows mm-hmm. everything, the world, whole width and stuff, and compatibility just goes out the window. So that's one of the things that I totally agree with Shelley. They really need themselves. I'm trying to pick something to impress it. Because honestly, the guy loves you. To be there no matter what. That's the thing. And if you put someone out, be with a guy, he wants someone like you. He wants who you're pretending. So I understand where you're coming with that. So if you have a couple of more questions for you, Shelley, I just want to take a little break. We're going to listen to this song called Legendary. I love it. I'm going to listen to Legendary by Secret Cardiac Advice and Just Family for me, because
all men are involved in it. Hope you guys. I have no idea what is going on. I'm going to probably be
there. Yeah.
Are you there, girl?
Yeah, I am. The cat's yelling at me on top of the refrigerator.
My goodness. What is going on with the student today? It's so glitchy. It's really...
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It must be me and you. I think it's our energy. It's zapping it or something. Did you hear that? She just yelled from the top of the fridge and she went, "Wah!" Hey, girlfriend, can you hear me? Oh! Charlie.
And we're back once again. I totally apologize, guys. I have no idea what's going on. We'll have to figure it out. So, yes, we were talking about this. I'm going to bring Michelle back. Hey, Michelle, what's up?
Hey, nothing. I got a cat on top of the fridge yelling at me. Cat, you know Jackie. You've seen her a couple of times.
Oh, man, too funny. Let me bring, I think Darlene's on because she was going to call in. Darlene.
Hello.
Hey, girl,
can you hear me? Ah, not much. Hello, how are you? I'm listening to you. It was kind of funny because you were going in and out, and I heard your guest say, hello, Charlie, and then she thought,
oh, my
phone went out. So I thought it was my cell phone because my cell phone is, so I thought it was me.
No,
but then
it's
I heard
our
you guys switchboard.
Say,
no, it's
No, last week we had a problem with the switchboard, so we couldn't get the show up on Tuesday. What it is we had the Verizon people come in and put in a new phone line.
Hello?
Hey, Chili's still here.
Hello?
Who's still there? Is it me and the guest?
It's Darlene.
Did we lose Charlie? I think Charlie got kicked off her own show. That's okay. I'll have to step in and shake over here, baby. That's it. Yeah, I'm taking over Charlie's show. I have my own show, but I'm taking over Charlie's show. How do you like them apples?
That's awesome. Well, that's a cat's meow.
So I guess maybe I should start interviewing you, take over Charlie's show here. So I heard that you're, what, the ambassador, one of the ambassadors for the Sarah Joy Foundation?
I am the Queen Ambassador for the Sarah Joy Foundation. Yes, I am. Very proud Queen Ambassador,
so,
yeah.
I've been trying to, like, help promote the, you know, foundation, trying to, like, you know, talking about it as much as I can. I post on my Facebook, and I'm just, like, I'm just in tears. I can't watch that video. It's just something that's so hard to me, and, I mean, I just hope in my own way to help keep Sarah's spirit alive, because the song, The Fighter, that her husband, Eric, and Kadiak did, I'm actually going to put in a film called The Dishwasher, which is my film dedicated to
Well, I'm glad you guys kept the show going for me.
Oh, no! I took over! Shelly, take over, girlfriend!
Thank you, Shelly, for saving the day. I'm like, are you kidding me? I think Verizon cut me off because I was going to complain about him, but I really wasn't. No, we, oh my gosh, so we moved everything around to try to set up the studio, and it's like, it's been like a dead zone ever since then. So I'm like, all right, we're going to have, so we wind up getting a hard line for the phone, and we tried to get a headpiece for it. So I have, you know, you have the headpiece, so you don't have to literally hold the phone the whole time. Well, the headpiece doesn't fit into the new phone. So I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
So we're like, yeah, so we're like, we'll do this. Yeah, no, really. And then Shelly knows because she goes through the same thing. So I'm like, all right, we'll do the show one last time on the cell phone because it wasn't working. And, of course, now I know why it wasn't working. But, hey, Shelly saves the day.
Yeah. All right, I'm doing it. You know, I was trying to get to know Darlene, you know, taking over your show. That's it. I'm the head honcho. I'm the boss. I'm the head of the thing.
Thank God you were on there because I would have been like, okay.
Well,
oh, man. So,
what happened on Sunday? Did you hear what happened on Sunday? I had Dawn the Dragon Wilson's son, which is Dawn has been in the Guinness Book of World Records for 11 times, and he's an international kickboxing champion. Here I have his son on the show. I couldn't take callers, and I think Dawn was in the car trying to call in, and I'm like, what? Because his brother, James Wilson, was in the room with Jonathan, and he came on, and he's like, Dawn's like, I'm bringing my uncle on. I'm like, okay. Right, so James got on. He's like, well, just to let you know, we're trying to call in. I'm like, I'm so sorry. So I think Donna Wilson was trying to call into my show, and I'm like, oh, crap. I can't get any calls. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. So I'll have Jonathan on the show again. So I'm like, man, it's gotten all serious for me. And now I have this craptastic phone, and I'm thinking, maybe it's my phone or something. But
no, I'm telling you, it's got to be this cell phone for some reason, which is why, because I don't know. I think it's because we have been bumped up so much and we're getting the exposure, because before I had done the phone, you know, the call-in for the show on my cell phone, and it was fine. But lately you can't do that anymore. You can't get away with it anymore. So I'm like, yeah, I definitely needed to invest in a regular phone, but now it's just, you know, getting the headset and everything set up. And that's something that we thought we had it, but it didn't fit. So I'm like, oh, man, so we got to go get another headset for it, and hopefully that'll take care of it. But the cell phone is like, no, I'm not working. I'm dropping this call on you every 2 seconds. So thank God you were there. So anyway,
yay,
getting back to it.
Job.
We're all back. So I wanted to have Darlene on the show for our listeners. Darlene, as you guys know, she's the Queen Ambassador for the Sarah Joy Foundation. So, Darlene, can you – I filled him in a little bit on the race we did Sunday, but I want to hear from your perspective. So why don't you tell them what went on, what you did, and then I need to hear about what's coming up this week for you.
Sure. Well, the road race was in Philadelphia. It was phenomenal. There was an amazing turnout, and it was a lot of fun. It was all for a great cause, family-orientated. They had a children's race, which was adorable.
I know. The cutest things ever.
Oh, my God. It was adorable. They were so cute. And it was an amazing turnout. And it was incredible to be a part of that. It was a fundraiser, but yet it was a fun-filled day. It was a beautiful weather day. A lot of people came out. It was like a cookout-type feeling, but it was all for a good cause, and it was a benefit, but you didn't have that somber feeling. Sarah's spirit was all over the place, for sure.
Yes.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun.
Definitely it really was, and one of the things was that, Darlene, I want to put you on the spot. So Darlene had this idea, Shelley. She comes in with this basket with, like, crowns and scepters for the boys and crowns for the girls. And, oh, my goodness, it was so much fun to see the little girls like, oh, my gosh, I get a crown. And the boys are like, wait, do I want a scepter? You know, like, you could tell they really wanted the wand, but they didn't want to ask for it.
Yep. Oh, they did. Oh, some of the little girls just played right into that princess part. As soon as I put that crown on, oh, my gosh, they were so cute. And you're absolutely right about the boys. You know, I said, would you like a wand? I don't want a wand. Why? You can use magic. You want to turn Daddy into a frog? I said to one of the little boys.
Oh my God,
okay.
It was so funny. It was so funny. And then the funny thing is I had on a plastic crown because obviously I couldn't wear my real crown while I was running. I'd probably drop it and break into a million pieces. But so I had this little plastic crown, and this little girl says to me, are you a princess?
Oh, yeah, so cute.
I'm like, well, yeah, in my mind I think I am. So she's like, so where's your castle? And your boyfriend Dave was right. He's like, she's kind of working on that right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he had a lot of fun, too, taking pictures and things. He definitely, thank you so much for making him feel welcome as well.
We corralled him. We made him the
camera.
Oh man, we made him the official photographer, and the man took over 400 pictures, and they were all kick ass. I mean, they were so good, and
he
just
it.
Like
the, he's getting used to the camera, so next time, you know, it'll be even better. But he enjoyed doing it, and
pictures were great. Like there was minimal editing that we had to do to the pictures because they were so good. So, Darlene, what are you up to this week? I heard some really good things through the grapevine. What are you going to be doing?
Well, I'm actually very excited. I am going to be in Lincoln, Rhode Island on Thursday at the Cabrillo Country Club. I hope I'm saying that right. Cabrillo Country Club for the Miss New England States pageant as a contestant. So I'm very, very excited about that. I was asked to partake in this pageant, and I was kind of like, ooh, I don't know. And then I said, yeah, sure, why not? I get to meet all my sister queens that I met the last time. I get to see them again and just have an amazing time. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I left a big part out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited to say that it is, this pageant is, for all the contestants to, they have to make a special box for the charity of their choice. And I made one for the Sarah Joy Foundation. So all the guests that come in will look at the boxes and make a donation in the box of their choice. So I'm very excited to be able to raise money for the Sarah Joy Foundation in that way too.
Right, and the other thing is I got a phone call from a certain somebody today clarifying about the foundation, if we're legit.
What? Really?
No, it's a good thing because the what Darlene's not telling us is that it's going to be televised. There's going to be a film crew there.
I forgot about that. Yeah, see,
yes.
I'm just so excited to be a part of this whole thing that I kind of, you know, I just go and have a good time and just be myself, and I don't really like pay attention to all that stuff, even though it's really exciting, and it is exciting, so I forgot about it. Pardon me, I'm so sorry. It is being broadcasted by Bravo, the television show Bravo. They're doing a special on pageantries,
So I was told that they're going to be there as well. So that's exciting. But I don't pay attention to the cameras, and I always tell them, you better get my good side.
No, it was funny because I got a phone call today from one of the producers. I won't mention any names, but one of the producers. And she's like, yeah, you know, we have this person. We're filming this pageant, and she mentioned your organization, and of course they need to verify that you're for, you know, that you're legit. They do that with everybody. But one that blew me off was the fact that, oh my gosh, we're legit. They need to see our paperwork.
Are you talking about me?
No, not you.
Oh,
yeah, you,
oh,
they, yeah, they were talking
say.
About you, that you were going to be on the show and that they needed to verify, not you, but that our foundation was legit. Not from your point, but one of the things that the production company has to do is whenever they mention any type of nonprofits on a show, they have to protect themselves, have copy of the paperwork that says that the company, that the foundation organization actually is a nonprofit.
Okay, I'm like stumped again. I'm not stumped. I don't know the word I'm looking for. I am once again sitting in my living room in my pajamas, very comfortable. But I'm very excited because I mean, I knew they were going to be there, but I had no idea that they had to call to make sure that it was legitimate and stuff. That's exciting.
Oh my gosh, you, Shelly knows how I am.
That.
I'm like, oh, my God, I'm like, paperwork. And then you guys got to hear this. This is so funny. Our listeners, they're probably going to be like, what are these three talking about? But it was hysterical because she said to me, can you scan the paperwork? Well, it was so funny, you know, because of the road race. I have been printing freaking letters up the gazoo and flyers.
Yeah.
So my printer ran out of black ink. I had every color but black. Well, my printer is temperamental. It won't scan a document unless it's legit with the ink. So I'm like in panic mode going, oh my gosh, this lady needs me to scan this paperwork and send it to her. So then I'm like thinking like, well, can I take a picture of it and send it to you, email it? She goes, oh yeah, just text it over. I'm like, thank you, Lord Jesus. So I wind up taking pictures of my paperwork with my iPhone and texting it to her. And she hit me back right away. She's like, perfect. That's just what we needed. You're all set. I'm like, oh my God, thank you, Lord Jesus, that I had the paperwork and stuff.
Oh, that's exciting. See, I knew they were going to be there, but I didn't. It's all new to me. This whole, you know, pageantry world is all new to me, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, that was my fault. I got her hooked, Shelly.
Yeah, yes, she did. No, she definitely did. But it's very exciting for me, and I'm almost like a little girl in a candy store, and there's so much to choose from and so much going on that I'm still taking it all in. If that makes any sense. But the last
absolutely, it does. It totally does because of the fact that you're so new to it. And the fact that that's one of the things we were talking about. Actually, another great thing came out of that whole road race we did. I had, and I can share this because I won't mention any names, but so we had a lady, a random lady, where we had the road race. You know, we advertised it everywhere. We put in running magazines or whatever. So I guess her and her husband were looking for a 5K to do, more her husband than her. I guess he's an avid runner. And some people don't realize that runners will use the smaller races to get an opportunity to do their personal best. That's like training for them for the bigger races that they qualify for, like, other stuff. So anyway, they wind up living near the park, so they decided, okay, let's do this road race. So it was the husband, her, and her sister was visiting from California, so they went down there. And she told me that they had gone on the website, and she says, I was so moved by Sarah's story and what your family was trying to do. She's like, I couldn't stop thinking about her. So she came to the road race. Her mom was there watching her kids. So it kind of hit home for her because she has a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old as well as being very young herself. So she hits me up and she said, I was so moved by the story. I was so moved by your family. I was so impressed with what you guys did. So she tells me that she owns her own marketing/media company, like public relations, and she's also a lawyer. And she's offering her services to the foundation as a volunteer.
Wow. Oh.
I know.
That's,
I was, like, floored because,
wow.
Like, Shelly, you know that we know everybody in Boston. Like, Shelly and I could probably, you know, put together anything because at any given time we could call hundreds of people, right, Shell, and have them show up. Because we know not so much in Pennsylvania for me, because I'm new here. I don't know as many people. So that was one of the challenges that I exhibited during the race, and I had to, like, really push hard to get it out there, where now you have someone that knows the media, knows people that she can reach out to, and I was, like, just flabbergasted at those good news, on top of the fact that then the producer called. It's like, yeah, we need to make sure you guys are legit, because this lady's, you know, she's in the pageant, and we're going to film it. I was like, oh, my God, that's so freaking awesome.
Oh,
I'm so excited.
That's incredible. That's really cool. And honestly, I the last pageant I was in, the Bravo cameras were there as well, because there were certain contestants that were in part of a reality show. So we all had to sign, you know, release forms and things of that nature. So when I was talking to them about my story and talking to them about Sarah Joy Foundation, Charlie, you know this, I have no problem with the gift of gab, and I love meeting new people.
No, Shelly, trust me, she fits right in, girlfriend.
I have no problem. I'm in my interview amongst seven judges, and I've never done this before, and I didn't realize that there was a time limit. So I'm going on and on, and I'm talking about the foundation, I'm talking about this, and talking about that, and all of a sudden, the gentleman that said time, and I looked up at the judges, and I said, oh, I forgot to mention that I have the gift of gab, and they started to laugh, and I left, but the Bravo cameras were in there, and
That's funny.
The interview and stuff, and they were in there, but they told us that they were going in there, but they were there for other people, but they may pick and choose certain people, you know, that they'll record. When I went back to the dressing room, one of the people, producers or camera people, came into the dressing room and approached me and said, did you sign a release form? And mind you, this is all new to me, so I looked at her with little kid eyes and said, yes, was I supposed to? And she started laughing and said, oh, no, yes, we had everyone. It's just that your story was so touching. We want to piece it into our show. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she walked away. And normally I would be like, oh, my God, oh, my God. But I just kind of, you know, I let it go. And when I got in the car, I drove my son nuts in a good way all the way from Rhode Island to Massachusetts. I'm like, oh, my God, Jeremiah, I can't believe what just happened to Mom. Oh, my God. But I didn't pay no mind to it at first. But now it's like, and you're telling me this, I didn't know. I'm very excited. I will do whatever I can to help the Sarah Joy Foundation. I was so
excited about it. I mean, it's like, wow, this is really cool for you more than anything.
You
but
should
for
see
me,
my
it was
boss.
Funny. It was that moment. You know, when you, Shelly can relate to this too, Shelly, because you know how we are, and obviously you too, darling, because you're a go-getter. People don't realize, because my son, I have one son, Alexi, I consider him my go-getter, because out of all our kids have done something with their life. You know, I am blessed that my kids have all tried to do something. I'm not saying they're superstars or got it right all the time, but they're the type that if they fall on their butt, they get up and try to figure it out. But the youngest one, for some reason, he decided, well, I'm not going to college because it takes too long. He went to culinary school, became a chef, and then wound up getting an apprenticeship as a butcher. So this kid is spanking 21 years old, already has his own car, has it all figured out for now. But it's funny for me when I see someone like him, he comes up to me, he's like, how do you just throw things together and then you have, you know, like when we did the memorial dinner, that's when he came up mm-hmm. to me. And he says, you throw all this together and it comes out so amazing. He's like, it just blows my mind how you do that. And I'm sitting there going, it blows my mind that you're freaking 20 years old and, you know, figure that out. I wish I had figured it out at 20. But it's really funny because when we're doing it, we don't think about it. We just kind of keep going and going. And it's funny. It's almost like all of a sudden we look up from how hard we've been working or pushing and then we go, oh, wait a minute. What? Oh, wow, really? Oh, wait, hold on now. We did that, you know.
That's exactly the feeling I have. And I'm still forever grateful and honored and feel as if I've known Sarah personally. And for the rest of my life, I will work for the Sarah Joy Foundation and get her voice heard
and her wishes done in helping people who are fighting cancer, without a doubt. I feel as if she is my soul sister. And mm-hmm. I spent most of the day today going around today getting donations and explaining to people that through the process each year we will be helping a family or a person. And the gifts that are donated will either go towards raffle baskets at the dinner that we have to raise mm-hmm. more money, or put into a package to be given to a specific person. And people are being so generous and being so struck by Sarah's story.
This is kind of like a perfect segue, which is why I wanted to have Shelly on, and I know she was talking to you about it a little bit. So, Shelly, you wrote a script a few years back, which I happened to read, and I thought was hysterical. Tell us a little bit about the script you wrote, what it's called, and what you're trying to do with it, and then where Sarah ties into that.
Well, I wrote a script, and it was kind of like, it's basically kind of my life I put into it, because my big dream is to work with Jackie Chan, who's my idol, and I've looked up to him since I was a little kid. And I wrote it. I had the help of, a couple people helped revise it and such, and it's actually called The Dishwasher, my Jackie Chan-influenced film. And I'm a lead in The mm-hmm. Dishwasher, and the story is that, I'm an underdog, and I dream of having my life like Jackie Chan, and the funny thing is, it's been about 6 years, and I'm trying to raise the money and try to do it properly and all these things. In my own way, I want to do this short and sweet. It's a short film, and I've even had people approach it and kind of struggling to get this done, where they wanted me to, kind of almost whitewash my own film. And the technical term of whitewashing is, you guys know about it's about race and stuff, and they've been doing this for many years, where it's been done to, Bruce Lee and a whole bunch of other people, and they'll whitewash
right.
casting Asian characters as, Caucasians. And the thing is, I could have got the money, but the thing is, the director, Sang Verathath, and my lead actor, Anthony Huang, who actually is a stunt guy, he went to stunt school, so he's very talented, and I just got in mm-hmm. touch with them, and they said, no, we're still going to stay on board with you. And I was like, I know people, as soon as they would get money for a film, no matter what, they would drop people. As long as they get the money, that's all that would matter to them, to get the film done. Well, mm-hmm. now I only need a total of $500, but now it's like I sold my car. I wasn't going to get it fixed, and it was all falling apart, and I got $150 for it. So I'm putting that towards it, and all I need is $350 more, and, mm-hmm. coming up with the money and doing with honor. The whole thing coming together, it's slowly, slowly, slowly coming together, years.
Right.
But the thing is, to do with a song, which is one of my theme songs by my two nephews,
mm-hmm.
Cardiac and Sacrifice, the song The Fighter, which I think, if I'm not, I could be mistaken, but I think the song was actually made for The Fighter, the Mark Wahlberg, Mickey Ward film, and it didn't get into that.
Right.
Well, with me, with what I'm doing, I do know there's someone that actually is even bigger than Mickey Ward and, Mark Wahlberg, is Jackie Chan, who
right.
I'm going to be putting the song The Fighter somewhere in my film, dedicating this to Jackie Chan, which I know I will get to, have Jackie watch it. I can get it to him, and submitting
right.
it to the film festivals. But where The Fighter also comes in, besides it being a song in the film, since, Sarah was a fighter. I never met her, and
yep.
it's like, I wish I did, and I wish I'd want to call her my niece. And it's like, just, mm-hmm. I just feel like, wanted to do this, and I'm like, am I overstepping my bounds? I says, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and do this, because I try not to be disrespectful, and this is what I feel in my heart that I need to do. I'm
right.
keeping Sarah's spirit alive myself. I'm doing a dedication to Sarah in my film. And
mm-hmm.
the song The Fighter is actually going to be dedicated to her, because she was such a fighter. And that's how,
right.
in my own way, I will keep it, immortalize her spirit in film forever on that film I'm dedicating to Jackie Chan. And somewhere, I don't know how I'm going to do it,
maybe at the end of the film, you know, explain that. But that's exactly what I'm going to do because, you know, it's also my film's for all those underdogs out there where, you know, I talk
right.
funny and people saying, you know, this and that, and it's like, I'm a fighter. So that's what the dishwasher is, you know. She's a fighter. She's just an underdog, and she wants to work with Jackie Chan, and basically that's the same thing like me, you know. So that's basically what it's about, and I mean, I know I've been connecting. Another big thing, you're not going to believe this, right? Now,
mm-hmm.
this is awesome because I've been making more friends out in Hollywood, the real stunt people. This is really cool, this connection. The title
mm-hmm.
of myself, The Dishwasher, I got the idea from Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, where
mm-hmm.
Bruce Lee was actually a dishwasher, and he
mm-hmm.
was fighting in this in the back of a Chinese restaurant, and his boss said, get in here. Long story short, she told him, you know, if you're not going to follow a good path, because she knew he had a lot of potential, she says, well, I can always use a good dishwasher. So that's exactly where I got this from over 6 years ago. Well, get this. This is the coolest part. So, you know, I'm networking with people and stuff, more and more stunt guys like Robert Crane, who, you know, he fought like Jet Li and interviewed Jackie Chan, and Stephen Lambert, who's he's played many stunt things in Hollywood. He doubles
right.
for James Woods and stuff. And then it's like getting to know him, this guy Douglas Wong, right? They worked
mm-hmm.
on that Dragon Bruce Lee story, who Jason Scott Lee trained in that film, and he helped to train Jason Scott Lee for the film Bruce Lee, The Dragon Story. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And that's where I got the title from, something they worked on. I was like, oh, my God. It's one of my favorite films in the whole wide world. And I'm sitting going, what a connection that is. And it's connected to, like, my film that hasn't even been made yet.
Isn't that crazy, though, how that happens, where the connections comes in? Because, like, Darlene doesn't know this, and some of our listeners don't. I remember the first. So Shelley and I met online first. I don't even know how it started. We, like, connected and stuff. And then it was so funny because then we actually physically met when we went to a casting call in Maine. So fast forward, like, maybe a month or so, we got the part and we started working together. So we're like, hey, why don't we commute? Because at that time you were taking the train up there. So I'm like, well, I'm going up there anyway. I might as well, you know, we'll ride together so we don't, you know, I won't be bored out of my mind driving by myself for an hour and a half. So we're riding up there. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to put some music on. So I throw this song on, and Shelley starts basically freaking the hell out in the front seat of my car. She's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, I love this song. And I'm looking at her like, how in God's name do you even know this song? So she's like, it's my favorite song. I have it on my profile. And I'm like, really, Shelley? Because those are my two boys that did that song. I was like, how the hell did you get a hold of it? She's like, no way. So she thought I was kidding with her that it was my kids. I was like, no, that's Cardiac and Sacrifice. They did this song for the fire. It was just like so unrealistic that, wait a minute, this song that you had been listening to all this time, and now you have the people that did it, their moms in the car with you, and you're like, what?
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm telling you, this world is way too small.
Oh, that
yeah.
is awesome.
That
yeah.
is so cool.
So, no, and it's like, that's one of the things that I really like with the connections that I make, is that right now, Darlene, you can relate to this, because one of the things I said to Darlene, and I tried to do it in a very nice way because I didn't want to scare off. I said, Darlene, you do realize that now that you're going to be in the spotlight a little bit more, and you're going to be doing these pageants, and you're going to do appearances, and you're going to be on TV and on radio, and you're going to have your own fan book, you know, your Facebook page, there might be some people that might be a little hate-ish.
Which I don't get. I don't get things, because it's like, here I am, this funny talking chick from Boston, right? Now I'm
right.
not no beauty queen, say I'm a beauty queen, I'm a ninja, right? And I'm like,
yeah, she's a ninja.
You know, it's like, I'm sitting here, you know, I talk real funny like a female Joe Pesci. I was like, how are people hating on me?
You know, I just don't get that. I don't get that at all. You know.
Well, Darlene, didn't you say that to me too? You're like, what? Remember?
I did. Yep, I did. And I tell you, I've learned and I'm still learning. I call Charlie my mentor, and she is and forever will be. And I have incredible shoes to fill. But she was telling me this, and I'm like, but I'm the nicest person I know. How can people be like that? But you know.
And it was funny, because I was trying to do it in a positive way. Because, you know, Shaw, I'm not negative, and I'm not going to be like, well, people are going to be hating on you, and, you know, kind of thing. I was like,
yeah,
you know, because I didn't
that,
want you to be
funny.
Caught. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want you to get caught off guard. I wanted to make sure that you understood that. And Shelly can relate to this, because she went through that, where people that she had known forever, all of a sudden she started making movies and she had her own, you know, talk show and all of a sudden these people are like literally hating on you. You're like, wait, you're supposed to be happy for me. This is a good thing. So I kind of didn't want you to get caught off guard with that. And it was funny,
no,
too.
I thank you.
And it was funny, right, Darlene, because the other day she said to me, she's like, I'm not going to mention any names, but wow, you were so right about what you told me.
Yeah. No, that people are utterly nuts, because you know how, like, anybody can be a warrior behind a computer, right? It's really true. And I'm sitting there going, because I had, like, death threats and so many different things sent to me, and I'm like, are you serious? Really serious? I says, I'm going really serious. Like, at first, I'd be, like, answering the back, and I just kind of delete. And I, like, delete and block is a very beautiful thing on Facebook. Because you can go block, block. You know, and it's like, I can go block, pity, block. And I just, like, I'm learning that, you know, people, I just don't know, like, what people say. I understand people have busy lives and stuff like that, but in the last 4 years I learned, because people say, oh, you know, Shelly, I'm so busy and blah, 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 this and that, but it seems like here I am doing my thing. I work all the time. I work a full-time job. I survive on my own. I have a paycheck. There's nothing else. You know, I'm not on welfare or anything like that. I'm not, like, putting anyone down, but I'm surviving on my own, paying my own bills. You know, I get less than a lot of other people, and here I am. People are putting me down for things that I'm doing, and I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not the one with the expensive cars or having, like, a husband and all this stuff. And if people are so happy with everything they have, they're hating on me, and I have less than what they have. And I'm like, I don't get that.
I've
learned, and it's been since Charlie's gotten me involved in all of this. And now that I'm going to be much more in the public eye, I've learned to be even more. That I think that my opinion is that people do that because they want to do things in their lives that they've dreamed about doing, or maybe they have regrets and things that they didn't do that they wanted to do, and they didn't have the go-get attitude that we all have to get it done. And their way of lashing out is lashing out at the people that are the go-getters, that fulfill their dreams, that like to help people, that instead of sitting back saying, oh, why can't I do that, or oh, why I don't understand this person, we're actually doing something about it and helping people. And a lot of people that are what you would call haters are the people that wished they had, and you can't help but feel sorry for them.
It's true because I remember when I did my very first pageant, and then I remember the Lowell paper coming to me and saying, oh, we'd love to do a story on you because this is so contrary to anything you've ever done. When I won the state title. So they did this story, and I remember it was up on their webpage, and I remember somebody making a snivy comment like, oh yeah, that would be really cool if it was true. Like, I was making up about being on a SWAT team and all the stuff that I had done and everything. So I laughed. I thought it was funny. And my husband's like, he's like, you know, it's those, like Shelly says, keyboard warriors. But the funny thing is, karma's a pretty funny thing, because, you know, we take the high road. I didn't make a comment. I didn't say anything. I just kind of chuckled it. So the lady reporter said to me, listen, if you win the national title, please hit me up because I'd love to do a follow-up story. Because they interviewed me like a week before the national pageant. So I won, and I wind up calling her. She's like, oh, my gosh, I'd love to do a story on you. So by that time, she had left. She had gone to work for a bigger paper, so they sent someone else. But it's so funny how karma is. Now, this woman didn't know anything about the nasty comment or any of that. So they do this big, giant article on me for winning the national title. But the thing that cracks me up was the title of the story was, because you know it's for petite people, it was for petite America. So the title was, it's no tall tale, this girl can walk a beat. I was dying on the floor. On the floor, because my husband's like, did you mention to her that someone thought you were lying about everything you did? I was like, no, that's why it's even funnier. And people don't realize that, you know, how the producer called me today to verify that this is a real organization. Well, they do fact-finding, too. Like, they called my old lieutenant, and they verified where I had worked. They called Kim, the pageant director. So it's not like you can just make stuff up and they just throw it in the news. You know, they actually do right. check the facts. But the fact that you titled it that, I'm rolling. My husband's like, well, I guess we won't see any comments on this one.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That is so awesome.
You know, but
and
it's true. It's just that. Yeah, go ahead, darling.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say again,
I truly, and I was so blessed the day that you came into my life and became my friend and asked me to be a part of the Sarah Joy Foundation and a part of your family. It is an amazing I've always been the type of person, I love to help people. I reach out to anyone that needs help. If people are having benefits, people call me. As a matter of fact, I'm making 3 baskets, 2 for October and 2 for November. I don't even know the people, but they're my Facebook friends, and they're having benefits for different causes, and I can't go, but I'm making baskets to help them raise money.
Right.
I've always done that, and I love to do that. But that's who I am. But
well, see, that part of it, I think that's
reach.
Where... Yeah, and you know
Go
what,
ahead.
Darlene, that's one of the things, and Shelley, too, can relate to this, is the fact that when you have that giving personality, you know, when they always say karma never forgets and you're going to get back whatever you give, good, bad, or indifferent, that is so true. Because I've noticed that, and Shelley has the most amazing story. If you know, we definitely have to get her to share that with us at a later time, because Shelley can tell you, right, Shelley, you have gone through hell and back, yet you've been able to get away from all that negativity, get away from that, and always been able to land on your 2 feet and show people how wrong they were about what they said. And then you look back on karma laying out her rewards for these people, and you're like, whoa, thank God that wasn't me. Thank God I got out of that situation, or thank God I'm not with that person anymore.
No, it's a blessing, because before, where no one gave me support, and long story short, you know, I, like, one night I was going to kill myself, and it was like people were shocked to hear this from me, but, you know, making connections like Jay Giannani, one of my my film brothers, and I called him out in Hollywood, and everybody else had said, Jackie Chan will never talk to you, never work with you. He's out there in baseball watching in California in the baseball field, and he said straight out, he goes, instead of saying something, because I literally was going to take a knife and kill myself that night, and he said, and I was like getting myself to go, well, he's out in Hollywood, I'm going to ask him, and I'll hear truth from him. He literally said to me, you know, yeah, it's possible you're just going to work for it. And he
right.
was like, I was like, oh, my gosh. So then, now with the last year, I'm not kidding, the biggest stunt people, like I said, Don Wilson, everybody's like now saying, yeah, I'll be on your show. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm talking with the biggest stunt people in Hollywood. And I'm going, you know, they're treating me like I'm on their level. And they've been working on Hollywood for decades. And I'm sitting here going, you know, they're very kind to me. And you wouldn't think, you know, you hear all about this Hollywood and people having these
right.
attitude from, maybe because they have the martial arts background. They're like, hey, Shelley, what's up? And now I have Ninja Pals, but they're all on the other side of the United States. I'm on the East
right.
Coast. They're on the West Coast. I'm like, Shelley, we got your back. And I was like, these guys are ninjas. And even beautiful women, I says, I'm telling you, I'm getting some beautiful women on my show that make guys jealous, and they're all ninjas. And I'm like, this is awesome. Where I never
right.
thought 4 years ago, you know, there I was on the verge of taking my life, and here I am. I'm going, you know, we're looking towards syndication for our radio shows, and I'm like, I never thought I'd be doing any of this. I never thought I'd be doing film.
Well, I'm glad
that you didn't
hurt yourself.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you're still here, and I'm glad you didn't hurt yourself. And I would like to someday meet you personally and give you a hug. You sound very, very funny, and your personality seems to be outstanding. I look forward to meeting you someday soon, I hope.
Absolutely. Shelly, I'm glad Shelly's
like
around,
I'd
too.
I'd like to have a ticket to your movie release. I hope
you absolutely.
Okay. We're doing another film we've been working on too, called Valkyrie. I'm playing one of the lead Valkyries. We were taking horseback riding lessons and stuff, and believe me, it's going to get all serious now. We did half the film, and he's director Z. He's my big brother, but he's director Z on set. He's very serious. Let me tell you, he's very serious, and you have to like really pay attention. We were filming in the winter, it was so cold. It's like North Pole cold up here. We were up snow up to our knees. We had no protection on our arms. It was all skin, and it was blowing. And it was so cold. But we've been filming, and we're going to get it done. And there I am. I'm playing a lead, and I'm playing a superhero. And I'm like, man, I'm a Valkyrie, and I'm like strong woman. You know, I feel like so honored. And I'm very thankful, and I work all the time. I'm always working and stuff, so I'm praying to God for syndication because, you know, I mean, it's something I'm good at talking. And it's one thing.
Oh,
I'm
heck yeah. All three of us, we're good at gab. We got to get our own TV show. Forget The View. Forget The Other One. Yeah, the three of us, we'll get them going.
No kidding. That would be awesome. I want to be the modern day Lucille Ball.
There you go. That's what they nicknamed her.
That's what they gave me. The nickname is Lucille Ball. I want to be the modern-day Lucille Ball.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. That is too funny. So,
yeah,
Darlene, when is your pageant? Darlene, when is your pageant?
My pageant is this Thursday. This Thursday.
At what time?
It's at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, and where
is
it going to be again?
It's at the Cabrillo Country Club in Lincoln, Rhode Island.
So for our listeners, if you happen to be in the area, she's very excited. Bravo's going to be there 6 o'clock Thursday at the Cabrillo Country Club in Lincoln, Rhode Island.
Yes, ma'am.
Lincoln, Rhode Island.
If you're
so you can go down there and cheer
on
Darlene
out.
On. Yes. Darlene, are they doing talent, bathing suit? What are the components to the pageant?
Well, they're not doing talent. I wish they were, but they're not doing talent. Dinner gown, evening gown, and swimwear.
Awesome.
And interview. And the funny thing is, at the very first time I did pageantry, and I said, when I talked to the woman who asked me to do the pageant in the first place on the phone, and I never met her at this point, I said to her, excuse me for a minute, but I don't know if you know this, but I'm a voluptuous woman. She started laughing. She was laughing so hard. She's like, oh, no. She says, first of all, I love your personality. I says, I'm sorry. It's just that, you know, with me growing up, I always thought, as most people do, pageants. She did 24, 36, 20, 40. I had to be 21. She says, your personality is outstanding. She said, and I've seen your pictures on Facebook. I've viewed and I've spoken to a few people about you, and we definitely want you to be there. I said, okay. So I go there. I'm really nervous about the swimwear. I'm very, very nervous. So I found this very nice bathing suit, one piece, of course, with the little skirt. But and I was nervous about it. But I went out there and I took Charlie's advice, and she said, don't think of it as a competition. Think of it as you're going out there representing yourself. Think of the fact that you just conquered cancer, and you go out there with pride and be yourself. And that's exactly what I did. All these gorgeous women around me, but I went out there, and I was me. I was there for me, and I had a wonderful time. On the way home, my son, oh, what a sweetheart, says to me, Ma, you know, I got to tell you something. Nobody knew I was with you. You should have heard the amazing things people were saying about you. When you came out with your evening gown, they said, look at her. She's old
Hollywood. She looks like Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
And I'm like,
yep.
Oh, my God, really? And he says, yeah, Ma. And when you came out with that bathing suit, I'm going to tell you something. You rocked it, Ma. You rocked that bathing suit. And I'm like, I did? Oh, my God, thank you. He goes, I swear to God. You know why, Ma? Because your smile lit up the room. People
right.
weren't looking at the fact that you were a plus-size woman on the stage. They were looking at a woman that was smiling from ear to ear and very proud of it. You rocked it, Ma. So now, bring on the bathing suits.
She's like, bathing suits are nothing to me. Hey, darling's ahead
yeah,
of me. I told her, bathing suit competition is on my bucket list. Haven't done it yet. I just don't have that oomph yet. I'm going to have to have Darlene's going to mentor me how to, girl, get out there in your bathing suit.
Yeah, you're gorgeous. You look amazing in a bathing suit. Are you kidding
oh,
me?
It's
I
not
want,
even that. It's just that, you know what? It's funny
me.
People
you
say that
talent.
To me. It's just, yeah, no, it's just bathing suits. There's something, there's a
I
phobia
know.
For me about bathing suits. Like, I feel like it's
well,
going to get a wedgie or something's going to fall out.
I was very lucky.
Yeah!
With my,
yeah!
my bathing suit, it looks like a little dress. It looks like
mm-hmm.
a little dress. It has a little dress on it. It's a little bit sexy on the top, but not overkill. Very age appropriate, and I feel very comfortable in it. But you
yeah, that's
one
what
up
I need
on
to
me
do
because you have the talent competition. You did the talent part of it.
Yeah,
I
was like, yeah, oh, my gosh.
And I'll do the talent.
I know, right? No kidding. Oh, man, I can't
but,
believe the time flew by. So, Darlene, Thursday, you're going to be in Lincoln, Rhode Island rocking it. You're going to bring the hardware. Bravo's going to know who Darlene is, and I'm just sad that they're not doing a talent competition. So you're going to have to start, like, harmonizing in the bathroom so they can hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They can walk by
absolutely.
And go, wow, who is that?
Thank you so much for having me on your show. And I'm sorry, what was your other guest's name?
That's Shelly. Shelly Numchuck.
Shelly. Is she still there?
Yeah, I'm still
Hi,
there.
Shelly. Hi, Shelly. It was a pleasure sharing the show with you. Way to keep it going, girl, when the phone lines went out. And I look forward
yeah.
to meeting you as well. If you're
yeah.
in the area, come on down to Lincoln, Rhode Island. I'd love to meet you.
Well, thank you. I wish I could, and maybe someday I'll have a car again and I can travel.
I'll twinkle my nose and I'll come and get you.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, do you know that real quick, Darlene, your campground where it is literally like 15 minutes from where Shelly lives?
You're kidding me.
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe I can come and visit you. I'm going to be up at camp this weekend.
Sweet.
That's fabulous. Wow.
Yes,
no
Shelly's
kidding.
in Westbrook.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes, I can
See,
come
small
and
world.
When I'm up in Maine. Yes, it
there
is.
There you go.
Definitely.
That's the quick way to do it. All right,
wow.
Darlene. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much, honey, for calling in, and we look forward and go grit that crown, girl.
Oh, yes, I'm coming. Look out, Rhode Island. I'm on my way. You all have a
all
nice
right,
night.
All right, Darlene.
Thanks again.
All right, then. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Isn't she amazing, Shelly? I love this woman. She's
yeah,
like so much
awesome.
Fun. Oh my God! Can you imagine the guts? I mean, you've done it because I know you've done the bikini competitions.
Yeah,
are even worse.
Long time ago.
I've never had the guts to do that. And it's like it's not even because I'm self-conscious of my body or any of that. It's just the fact that I really feel like something's gonna fall out when I'm on.
Well, no, I did it because people said, you know, Shelly, do it. But when I was on the catwalk, right, I had sneakers
mm-hmm.
on, and I was like, I was so nervous. But guys were, like, looking at my crotch and going, this is so uncomfortable. I says, why are they just looking at my crotch? I'm totally nervous. Like, I'll never do this ever again.
I know. It's going to – I figure I can do it in the bathing in a beauty pageant setting because at least I won't be totally freaked out by the pervs, but it's still like – I'm not there yet. I'm going to have – Darlene's going to have to mentor me for that. Shelly, thank you so much for calling and saving the show for me when it was falling apart
yeah.
on these phone lines.
I'm your superhero.
Superhero, tell me, who's on the show tomorrow?
Tomorrow is, oh gosh, I gotta pronounce his name right. Hold on for a second. I'm gonna try to, I know you don't have much time. Let's see. It's Anthony, hold on for a second. Hold on. See, when you put me on the spot, not nice, Shelly, not nice. who's an actor, and let me tell you, he's a sweetheart. He's adorable. I'm telling you, he's going to be one of those future heartthrobs where girls are going to like fall madly in love with him. You know, because he's got that type of appeal. I think he's like
That's
half
awesome.
Italian. He can handle weapons, combat weapons, and stuff like that. So I'm like, maybe I'll play his son. I mean, sorry, I can't even talk. You got me up late. maybe I'll play his son. I'll play his mom someday. I was like, yeah. So he's going to be on the show tomorrow night.
That's awesome. So everybody tune in, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Shelley is going to have the fabulous heartthrob Anthony. I cannot wait to hear what you guys got it on. And you're also on at noon on Sunday, so join her for that. She's always effervescent and awesome. Thanks for calling in, Shelley. It was really fun to connect with you. We need to do this at least once a month so we can connect and keep this show going to syndication, baby.
Yeah, and also, you got to come up so we can, like, almost crash into the candy store before we go to the movie theater.
Oh,
I just
man.
You, like,
next,
next
month when we do that, we got to tell that story. Oh, man, don't ever let me and Shelley alone at a movie premiere or a movie matinee and candy store next to each other. It just, yeah, it was awesome, though. It was a good time. All right, Shelhan, thank you so much for calling, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Okay, have a good night, sis.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See, that's the thing that I love about this industry. When you become involved not only with the music industry, the acting industry, even in the pageant world, because the thing you realize is after a while it kind of all interconnects and you start meeting the same people over and over again. That's why I really believe internet media like Facebook and these other platforms are such a great way to meet people as long as you're focused. Because you could literally spend days on the internet and really not do anything, or you could spend an hour or two and really do some productive networking that can lead you to really important and meaningful lifelong friendships and working relations. So thank you so much for joining me. I totally apologize again for the glitches with the lines. Hopefully by next week, all the glitches will be out and taken care of, so we won't be getting any more drop calls. Thank goodness Shelley was here. So, yes, we're looking forward to that. Again, remember, do not let anybody ever steal your dreams away, and remember that anything that you dream about, you can accomplish. Just don't let anybody ever steal your dreams away, and remember, the best thing you can do is be yourself. So remember, join us. Join Shelley tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She's also on at noon on Sunday, and you will hear me again next Tuesday as well. And have a great night, and hope you have a great week.
I'm that kid. My first record advance check. Go flip your lid. Yes, it is. K-A-R-D-I-A-K on the avenue when I slide back. I'm that high. Shorty swoon and that's that guy. Oh, yeah, mama, you know. I'm in Poppy Chulo. Boy, make go like any pizzeria, you know. Four guest clappers like a Costa Rican anthem. So handsome, plus you know that I'm nice. I got a real smooth game, plus the voice is a bite. Need to stop the wrong shorty, you ain't doing it right. I'ma glide like two wheels on a mile of ice. Make moves like eight flies on a pile of that rice. Could be hot if you was born with a mic. Cut by fever, cornball bounce like a FIFA. This is C-Dot shit, make your haters believe us. Mama, you know we wildin'. Pop the bottle, thirsty Thursday. One more drink, bout to call in a sick day. Seen you at the bar, caught eyes by the ashtray. Asking for a light, seen the frame and said, oh.